I have empirical evidence to the contrary, he said, bitter humor in his voice. That's because you've never thought about it before, I said. You've reacted to the fear, but you haven't ever faced it and put it into the right perspective. You have to make up your mind to overcome it. He was quiet for a second. Just like that, he said. Just make up my mind and poof, it's different. No, but it's the first step, I said. After that, you find other steps to take. Think about it for a while. Maybe you'll never need it again, but at least you'll be ready if it happens sometime down the line. He closed up the medical toolbox. You mean it's over? For you, I said. Gravain knows that you don't have anything he wants. He's got no reason to look for you. Hell, for that matter, I think you were just in the wrong place at the wrong time when he did come looking. Anyone with access to the corpse and the ability to find where Bony Tony had hidden the jump drive would have been good enough for Gravain. Your part in this is over. Butters closed his eyes for a second.
Oh, thank God.
He blinked up at me.
Sorry. I mean, it isn't that I don't like being around you, but...
I smiled a little. I understand. I'm glad you're all right. I glanced down at my leg. Looks nice and neat again. Thanks, Butters. You're a good friend. He frowned up at me.
Yeah?
Yeah. I thought I saw him straighten his shoulders a little.
Okay.
Thomas appeared in the door of the kitchen. Gas stove, hot food and tea. Sugar? Tons, I said.
Not for me, Butters said.
Thomas nodded and slipped back into the kitchen.
So how come if I'm your friend, you don't tell me important things, Butters said.
Like what? I asked him. Butters gestured at the kitchen.
Well, that, you know, you're gay.
I blinked at him.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's the 21st century. You can live your life how you want, and it doesn't make you any less cool.
Butters, I began.
And hey, look at the guy. I mean, I'm not even gay, and I think he looks great. Who could blame you?
Choking sounds came from the kitchen. Oh, shut up! I snarled at Thomas. He kept on making choking sounds that bubbled with laughter.
You should have just said something, Butters said. Don't feel like you have to hide anything, Harry. I won't judge. I owe you too much for that.
I'm not gay, I stated. Butters nodded at me, compassion and empathy all over his face.
Oh, okay, sure.
I'm not! Butters raised his hands.
It wasn't my place to intrude, he said. Later, some other time, maybe. None of my business.
Oh, for crying out loud, I muttered. Thomas came out bearing plates of steaming, reheated pizza, some roast beef sandwiches, and crackers with slices of cheese partly melted on them. He put them down and came back with bottles of cold beer and cups of hot tea. He poured my tea for me, then leaned over and gave me a chaste kiss on the hair. There you go. Butters pretended not to notice. I punched Thomas awkwardly in the ribs. Give me the damn pizza before I kill you. Thomas sighed and confided to Butters. He gets like this sometimes. I grabbed the pizza from Thomas and leaned over enough to snag a beer. Mouse, who had been lying by the front windows staring out at the darkness, got up and came nosing over toward the food. Oh, here, Thomas said. The antibiotics. He put a couple of pills down on my plate. I growled wordlessly at him, washed them down with a swallow of beer, and fell to eating pizza and roast beef sandwiches and crackers with cheese. I shared a bit with Mouse every third or fourth bite until Thomas snagged the last roast beef sandwich and put it on the floor for Mouse to have to himself. I finished the beer and settled back with the tea afterward. I hadn't realized how hungry I was until I'd started eating. The tea was sweet and just barely cool enough to drink. In the wake of the meal and the evening's excitement, I finally started to feel warm and human again. The pain in my leg faded until it was barely noticeable. I blinked heavily down at my bandaged leg and said, Hey.
Hmm?
Thomas asked. You bastard. Those weren't antibiotics. No, they weren't, Thomas said, and without a trace of shame. They were painkillers, you idiot. You need to rest before you kill yourself. Bastard, I said again. The couch really was very comfortable. I finished my tea over the next several moments. Maybe you have a point. Of course I do, Thomas said. Oh, here's the antibiotic, by the way. He passed me a single horse pill. I swallowed it with the last of my tea. Thomas set the teacup aside and then helped me to my feet. Come on, get a few hours of rest. Then you can figure out your next move. I grunted. Thomas helped me into one of the darkened bedrooms, and I sank onto a soft bed, too tired to be angry, too tired to be awake. I vaguely remember stripping out of my shirt and shoes before pulling soft and heavy covers over me. Then there was blessed darkness, warmth, and quiet. The last thing I thought before I dropped off to sleep was that the covers smelled faintly of soap and sunlight and strawberries. They smelled like Murphy.